morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay, we'd like to welcome you to First United Methodist Church worship service this morning. If you're with us in person, we're glad to have you here. If you are worshiping with us from home, we're also glad to have you here. No matter how you got here, we're just glad you are here. Always been a mystery. Now all my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quites, with all the never get it rights. But it turns out those ones you've been looking for all this time, 'cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing, living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Now Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. And when I hear that devil start talking to me saying, who do you think you are? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Now, ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. That's just fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of a family. And if they all forget my name, that's just fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. 'Cause I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. We're living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Keep living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
wanted to tell you is we are having upwards of 600 and 700 views on these service, these worship services. And that's because people are sharing them. So when you're home, when you're, you know, you catch us on Facebook or wherever you're watching it, share it out with somebody else, because people are being reached by what we're doing here on Sunday morning. And I can't reiterate what Pastor Jake says enough. We haven't had 100 people sitting in our services in a long time on a Sunday morning. And they may not be watching on Sunday morning, but from week to week, we have hundreds of hits on this, and we're getting our message out. We're getting the message out to people. So when you see the video, hit share. Share it with your friends. Let them choose to watch or not. But God's message is getting out to the people from us every Sunday. So don't be discouraged. We're doing this, and it's going really, really well. Amen.
full of the gospel of Matthew. Then you will be able to put into context what it is that he's trying to explain within our own understanding. Day to day, every time, in every culture, every custom, of course, we find a way. You can get married. Yeah. And in the then when they come together as a couple, then you start flipping. throne is delayed. And to the extent that it was out of hand, everybody is tired. And of course, we know that what goes into the wedding. In most cases, after the wedding, the couple will take off time because of all of the energy they put into doing, putting stuff together and a lot of people. So why don't we have traps in this sleep? Oh, the wife didn't sleep. They sleep. So that could not be the reason why the other five were foolish. The one that I call foolish today, were they able to bring lambs like the wife was yesterday? Did they wait for yesterday? That were they tired alongside with the wife for yesterday? That so it could not possibly be of any of these things. In most cases, people would grab to the lamb or the extra oil, which I accept with reservation. It's not a reason for me to consider these young ladies who have devoted themselves, have accepted, have been evaluated, and accepted and chosen to be part of this wedding that I would consider foolish. Most biblical scholars will not agree, but I think it makes sense to know that, yes, sometimes there are things that get in the way. There are things that get in the way that try to distract us from the real. Sometimes the what you may call a fake will get in the way and present itself as the real, only to distract you from what you really wanted to do that was important. So as we begin to judge, we'll be kind of being a little bit biased here, and we'll choose to stand with the weakest one that I've been called, the foolish. I'm trying to justify the fact that they were not as foolish as we may think. But there's one thing that's come to all of us that made them foolish. It's complacency and negligence and yielding to distractions. How is the church today? How are believers today? How are we doing today? The young ladies, this one that we refer to as foolish, the only thing that made them foolish was just one thing. And that one thing was they allowed themselves and yielded to the distraction of getting what? Extra oil. Isn't that the reason why we were invited? It was not the reason. It was not the reason. Is it common to us today in the church? Oh yes, I guess so. In most cases, how many times we take our time, we come to church meetings, only to get stuck with something that is not really important to the ministry of the church. And that's what we spend time on. How many times Christians, believers, including myself, that instead of focusing on the ministry that Christ has sent me to, rather I'm just being distracted with something that will not even help to make ministry anywhere meaningful. These young women, all 10 of them, they heard the outcry. The groom is here. They all got up, did the right thing, and they trimmed their lambs. Only for the other five to know that their lambs were going low. If you want to talk about grace, you're not going to find grace in this text. If you want to talk about generosity, you're not going to find generosity here. That the wise were not even generous. But then we will also be judgmental. I want to also erase the fact that they were not. This has to do with salvation. It has to do with salvation. Salvation can, experience of salvation can only be shared. And that's what we are called to do. I can share my experience with Jesus Christ, but I cannot save the next person. I cannot give my salvation to other people. I can learn it to them. I can take a portion of my salvation and give it to my grandson and say, you know what, I think I have enough salvation. Here is a portion for you. I can do that. I cannot do that. Jesus is coming, and each of us, we have to be ready on our own and stand before him with however we are. Nobody is going to share that. Mom will not share with father. Father will not share with son. So, you see the message here? In the early church, their focus based on chapter 24 was always on Jesus. When is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming? Oh, what hour? Oh, what time? Oh, well, if you were to read that chapter, it would tell you Jesus said. Jesus said. He is coming. He is coming. He's returning. When? Well, even the angels don't know. Even the Son himself doesn't know. So why would you waste your time? Human being, why would you waste your time on that? And that's exactly what happened to these young ladies. They thought the extra oil was going to substitute for the important event that they had come for. No, that was not. That's not what they were called for. They were not called to come and have extra oil in their lives. They were called to receive the bridegroom. Will Jesus meet you ready if you were to come today? Or there are distractions that are still competing with our being prepared to meet him when he shall come? Or are we bogged down into when is this going to happen? The question is, what if it were now? What if it doesn't happen at all? God did not make that agreement with us. He didn't say 20 years from now, my son is going to return. He didn't say that. So why are you asking that question? Why are you keep worrying about that? We were called to be what? Obedient. And we accepted the call. We are the chosen ones. We need to keep awake. And the word that Jesus is talking about here, keeping awake, it's not like the bridegrooms are foolish because they slept. We all need sleep when we are weak. I don't think Jesus is going to be angry, or the bride or the groom would be angry to say, why are you sleeping? No, he didn't say that. But these people acted foolish by focusing on non-essential to their task. Our task is not to question when the master comes. Our task is to await the master, and our function is to receive him when he comes. When we hear the outcry, don't leave it and go do something else before you come back. No, that's not what we are called for. We are called to be ready to receive him. Today, the reason why we have a mushroom of churches splitting, it's because of insignificant stuff that have nothing to do with the point. I mean, the ministry we have is clearly stated before Jesus died. He told his disciples, this is my mission. They call it the Great Commission. My mission is you go into the world and make disciples. Simple as that. Not Methodists, not Baptists, not Pentecostal, independent, dependent. No. Those are all distractions. The important thing is, are we ready? What's our relationship with this Christ? Will we be ready when he shall come? Even today. So I've always said to myself, Lord, help me to at least live today as though tomorrow was the judgment. I think that's what we need to do. Nothing to do with my name, has nothing to do with how much I have in my account. It has nothing to do with what status I hold in a church. But because before Christ, God is only going to be looking at Christians, sons and daughters who have done the best they could to keep focus on their call and the mission of the church. Don't be distracted like this young lady. It's sad. It's sad. Come and knock only to be told, I don't know you. Get away. You've done everything right, but that one thing, you allow it to take you away. I still ought to review that. For these girls, it was the extra oil. How about you? What it is that is distracting you in this world? What it is? That's my challenge. Stay awake. Remain vigilant. Remain focused. Focus on the task of making disciples for the transformation of the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Reconnect my mic here. It's falling apart here. So we will come to the place where we want to lift our hearts together in prayer, share our joys and concerns. If there are any, please feel free to do that before we pray. Yes. Who is that? Oh, okay. Nancy. Okay. Oh, he's talking about Mr. Cork, okay. Okay. All right, is any? How about we thank God for the elections? Yeah, we thank God for the elections. You know, Scripture tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We can't question God's will. You go to the field, you go play soccer, or you go play football. Somebody's got to win. Of course, we're still hearing that there's no clear winner, but we just thank God that the process is on, or is almost on end. So we just thank God for that. Let's continue to pray that the Lord will help intervene in this coronavirus thing. It's keep going up and down. Now that we know that the election is over, we know there's going to be a change. So let's pray about that. Yes. That's a very good promise about that, Gene. Yeah. God tells us when we come together and pray, He will heal our land. So let's continue to pray for healing. That's what politics does. It divides people. So people, different political understanding will always be divided. Party. pray for members of our congregation that in the midst of all of this, we thank God that we haven't really had anyone per se from this congregation that has come down with the COVID, but they are relatives and friends, and some of them have had it and they have recovered. Let's pray that God, Linda Trembling wanted me to thank God for her. She had a COVID and she's recovered, she's fully recovered, which was a miracle because of her pre-condition. So she's very happy. Let's pray for Ron, that the Lord will also be with him. It's not COVID, he doesn't have it. You see the miracle? They're in the same house. She had it, he didn't have it. Except that he has another condition that is giving him problems. So let's pray for them. Let us pray. O gracious eternal God, we thank you. Thank you for being the God who never fails. The God with whom nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible. You are the Creator. And you love us. You love your people. You made us in your own likeness. We pray in a special way, dear God, that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent out of your love for us, came into the world, died for our wrongs, for his sake. Have mercy on us. We are not smart. We are not tough. We don't have the knowledge that you have. It's nothing compared to your knowledge. Have mercy upon us, O God. We thank you for how far you brought us into this year. Thank you for keeping some of us safe, protecting us through this virus, our families, our friends. We also want to remember and pray, God, for those who contracted this disease. Some of them made it through. Some of them were victimized. We thank you for all. But because you say in all things, we should give you thanks. And we know that you are not saying we're thanking you for what has happened, but the fact that out of it, you bring something good. Pray for the families. There were lots of uncertainties about the electoral process in this country. To be able to come to church today is all by your power. We recommit to you, God, the days ahead of us, the days and hours and minutes and months ahead of us, especially with the virus that is on hand. May your leaders that you've appointed to lead us come together to figure out how best we can all come before you with humility for your intervention. Pray this morning for all others, of God, who have conditions other than COVID-19, as we ask for Mr. Rob, Mr. Cook, using him as springboard, for all others whose condition COVID has covered, so that people with pre-existing condition no longer are able to see their doctors. We pray, dear God, you are the great physician who never loses a patient. Reach to each of them at the point of their needs. Heal them. Touch them with your healing hand. May your spirit continue to guard and protect us. Talking about healing, heal our nations, heal our world, heal our congregation. thank you for our time together here this morning. Help us not to be distracted by minor things, but to remain focused on the task you set before us, so that through us, others will come to know you and be saved. We bless you. We honor you and glorify you. And we ask all of these through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We'll sing the hymn from the Little Black Book for our closing. Faith We Sing, 2208. Guide my feet. Disciples of the world, so that salvation. the life of other people. So go in peace. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,